Praise God. Well, today we're going to talk about steps to answer prayer, and we're going to be continuing our prayer series called In Jesus' Name We Pray, The Purpose and Power of Prayer. So we're going to be giving you some steps. So if you're taking notes, if you would, just write steps 1 through 7. Now, we may not cover all 7 today, depending on what the Lord does and says, and but we will cover 7 steps entirely. All right, so we're going to start off with our foundational scriptures in John chapter 15, verse 7, St. John chapter 15, verse 7. The Word of God in the New King James Bible says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Now, these are very, very strong, positive prayer promises that from God's Word, because it's important and it's imperative that we as His children pray. And as we call on entitle our series, In Jesus' Name We Pray. Praise God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." Everybody say, pray about everything. So and then it goes on to say, "Tell God what you need and thank Him for what all He has done." Now we see here there's 3 circles, as we've given you before, in the Christian life. And in our experience in life, there's 3 circles, and there's the prayer circle, there's the worry circle, and what should be in the worry circle? Everybody say nothing. What do you say? Worry about what? Nothing. No care. We should be carefree, burden-free, worry-free. Amen. Anxiety-free. Worry about nothing. Anything big, little, small, in between. Nothing in worship. But he goes on to say this prayer circle, which is the second circle, should be what? Everything in there. In the worry circle, there's nothing in there. In the prayer circle, it's everything in there. Pray about everything. You go into H-E-B, Walmart, pray before you overspend or not buy what you need. Praise God. Pray when you walk on that car dealership when you get a new car. Pray when you're going to buy a house. Pray when you need a new job. Pray about taking that promotion. Pray about what? Everything. Everything. Amen. Everything. Everybody say everything. And then he said, "Tell God what you need and thank Him." So there's the Thanksgiving circle for all He's done. Amen. So that means in the Thanksgiving circle, we see in Thessalonians, it says, "In everything, give thanks." So in the Thanksgiving circle is the phrase, "In everything." The worry circle, nothing. The prayer circle, everything. The Thanksgiving circle, in everything. No matter what the circumstances is, give thanks and be thankful. Amen. And we said there's no place in between being thankful and unthankful. Some people say, "Well, I'm just going to be muted and silent." Well, if you're thankful, you show it by your gratitude and your attitude. Amen. So you say things. You talk to the Lord. "Thank you, Lord." Somebody give you a new pocket knife. "Thank you, Lord." Somebody say, "Hey, let me bless you with $20 on your gas." And they put $20 in your gas tank. "Thank you, Lord." You thank the person, but you thank the Lord. Because you're thankful. You can tell if your tank is full if your thanks are full. That was enough to get your hair combed, put your clothes on, and come to church. Hallelujah. But we got one more. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Never stop praying." Everybody say that. never stop praying. That means you also should always be an attitude of prayer, a connectedness, a constant communication, and communion with the Father God in the name of Jesus. Everybody say, never stop praying. What is prayer? We said prayer is the giving God's man, is man giving God the legal right and permission to interfere in earth's affairs. Prayer is man giving God the legal right and permission to interfere in earth's affairs. Prayer is man giving heaven earthly license to influence earth. Prayer is man exercising his legal authority on earth to invoke heaven's influence on the planet. Amen. Prayer is proof that you trust God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, everybody say in all thy ways, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In other words, we are to include the Lord and not exclude the Lord. Prayer is proof that you trust God, that you trust his plans, you trust his purposes, you talk to them, him about it. It's just not you, us four, and no more. It's about you and God and the rest of the family. Jesus is the center of my house, of my marriage. We talk to the Lord about everything. And so good faith friends would go up to one another and share and say, what did you talk to the Lord? What did the Lord say about it? Did you talk to the Lord about that? Amen. Look at someone next to you, smiling real good, and look them in the eye and say, did you talk to the Lord about that? Amen. Don't have conversations and decision-making processes going on at the house without the Lord. Include the Lord. Don't exclude the Lord. Don't mute him out and keep him on call waiting. Come on, talk to the Lord. Lord's got a lot to say about even how you build a Fido's dog house in the backyard. The Lord has a lot to say. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Hallelujah. I don't care how bad it is, how big it is, how little it is, in all thy ways. Don't be smart and say, well, I've been there, done that, I got the t-shirt. No. If you've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, next time you need to make sure that the Lord is with you. The Lord is included in that decision-making process. Hallelujah. Prayer is the expression of man's relationship with God and the participation in his purposes. Prayer is simply having a conversation and communication with God and allowing these conversations with God to have a priority place and role in our daily life as a Christian believer. Don't walk out of the house without praying to God. Don't go hours and hours at a day without talking to the Lord. Prayer is just not an activity, friends. It's a ritual or an obligation. It's communion and communication that touches God's heart. Heaven needs you to give it license to impact earth. John Wesley often said, John Wesley, you know, he's part of one of the leaders of the old Methodist movement. He said, it seems as though God is limited by our prayer life. Now listen to this profound statement. It seems as though God is limited by our prayer life. He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. God's waiting there. He said, just ask. Just talk to me. Amen. See, you can make a difference and change the course of history if you just understand the purpose and power of prayer. We said before, learning how to pray is more important, I believe, my opinion, is more important than a college education. Now I got two college degrees, but so does Pastor Cynthia. But I can tell you right now, learning how to pray is more important than both of them. We got some other folks that went to college here. But I, you know, my suggestion and my opinion, you don't have to agree with that, but I believe it's more important to learn how to pray than to go to college. Are you listening to me? So we must pray in a way that embodies the principles God has laid out in His and given us in His Word. Prayer is communication with God, believing and receiving what He has already given us in Jesus. Many plans, Proverbs 19, 21 and 22, are in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. Prayer doesn't mean we're convincing God to do our will, but doing His will through your will. Hallelujah. So therefore, the key to effective prayer is to understand God's purpose for your life, His reason for your existence as a human being in general and as an individual specifically. God, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to pray about X, Y, Z? It's not charging in a china shop like a bull and just throwing words up to the ceiling and hope they stick. It's having an understanding in your heart that God, this is you know what's going on. I give it to you. How would you like me to respond to this? How would you like me to reply to this situation? How would you like me to get involved and participate in your plans and your purposes in this situation? So God's will is our authority in prayers. Prayer is calling forth what God has already purposed and predestined. It's continuing the work of creation and establishment of His plan for the earth. All that God is, all that God has, may be received through prayer. Amen? And so we shared last week the importance to embrace and engage in the importance of the Word of God and the name of Jesus. We learn to pray in line with what the Word of God says. So if we said all your prayers last week, what's the foundational scripture on which those prayers are resting on? Because God's Word and His will are synonymous. So if you prayed a prayer, where's the word that supports that prayer? And so a lot of times people get into a situation, like we said last week, where they pray the problem. No, you give the problem, which is usually the worry, the care, the concern about it, to the Lord. That's the prayer of commitment, or the prayer we call of casting your cares upon the Lord. There's 11 different times of prayer in the Bible. The New Testament scripture gives us 11 different aspects or kinds or categories of prayer. You can't take prayer and say, well, we just play in sports, like put them all in the sock and shake them up and say, I'm praying. No, praying what? How are you praying? What are you praying? You need to have a level of wisdom and intelligence, scriptural intelligence, to be an effective prayer. That's why you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, because oftentimes we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 26, comes in to help us pray. He doesn't do the praying for us, but He helps us pray. Pray out the plan of God. Pray out the purposes of God. Pray down the power of God. Now, some of the old saints, they used to say they could pray heaven now. Well, that's our goal, to be able to pray heaven to earth, to get heaven moved and come down to earth. Even sometimes fasting in prayer, because fasting disconnects you from earth, prayer connects you to heaven. Well, praise the Lord. So you need to pray not the problem, we pray the promise. We pray the answer. We remind God, as we said last week, we remind God, your word says, Lord. You talking to the Lord, but your word says, you promised this. He said, put me in remembrance, Isaiah 43. Put me in remembrance. It's like a legal debate almost in a sense where you're reminding what the law says, what the word says, and God the judge says, yep, you're right. And all the promises of God are yes and amen. The King James says yea and amen, but it means yes. Amen means so be it. Yes, so be it. That's what the word says. Yes, so be it. So you find what the word says. You pray the word. Now that's sometimes backwards to people's logic. Because they said, I got to talk to God about the problem. No, give him the problem. Give him the burden. Give him the care of it. Say, it's yours, Lord. You have it. I don't have it. Now, what would you want me to do? How do I need to pray about this? How do I need to profess or confess about this? Amen. And so we need to pray in line with the word of God and use the name of Jesus. Again, we don't pray to Jesus. We can praise Jesus. We can exalt Jesus. We can adore him. We can worship Jesus. But we don't pray to Jesus. Jesus said, pray to the Father. He said, don't ask me nothing. Ask the Father in my what name. Praise God. In 1 John 5, 14-15, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Because, friends, we must understand that every prayer that's prayed isn't qualified to be heard. But if we ask, if we ask anything according to what? His will, he hears us. And then the other thing we need to understand, that when your prayers are heard, it qualifies to be answered. So go back and just measure yourself or evaluate your own prayer life. How's your prayer life? How many of my prayers have been answered this month? Well, Pastor, I'm not praying. Well, we want to stir you up. Get back to praying. Hallelujah. Verse 15, if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. James says it this way, you have not because you ask not. But then he goes on to say, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. That means you missed a target that you may consume upon your lust. And in other words, this was a selfish, self-serving prayer. Now, God knows what you have need of before you ask him. But he told us to ask. But he said, do it according to his will. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we ask and receive not because we ask amiss that you may consume on your love. So there's an asking amiss, but there's also an asking aright. Glory to God. So we're going to go through these seven steps, and like I said, we might not cover all of them, but these leave some space there. Seven steps to intentionally follow and practice to ensure that you get the answer. So we're talking mainly about your individual prayer life, which is the prayer of faith, two of the prayers that these kind of apply to, the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is a prayer that's offered in faith. And it is a prayer to change something or to get something. And then the prayer of agreement, which is the prayer of faith prayed by two or more people. Praise God. According to Matthew 18, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father, which is in heaven. So understanding and remember that by faith, this prayer offered in faith, we reach out and claim what we need. And then we create the reality of it in our lives. Now let me expound on that just a brief minute. By faith. Everybody say by faith. Now if you read Hebrews chapter 11, the there's 20 phrases in that entire chapter. We call it the chapter, the Hall of Fame of Faith. 20 references or phrases that says by faith, there's a couple through faith. But by faith, 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 through faith, through faith, by faith, et cetera, et cetera. What is it telling us? Faith is the birth canal from the spirit realm to the natural realm. Faith is, if you were to hold up a dollar bill, I don't have one, I don't know why it's in the office, but like a dollar bill or a $100 bill, all U.S. currency has on this little phrase on the bill, the currency, the cash, it says, for legal tender for all debts, public and private. So faith is legal tender in the realm of the spirit. You can't appropriate the promises of God, or we would just even simply say procure them or purchase them unless you have faith. What's it going to cost me to get the promises of God appropriated from the Bible to my reality in my life? Everybody say, by faith. You need faith to appropriate those things. You got to have faith. So God says, I will be your supply to all your needs. I will be your source of everything you need, but you need faith in me. Jesus said in Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. But you also need to have faith in what his promise. So faith in the promise, faith in the promiser. God, you said it. I trust you. I believe it. And when you believe, you receive. Faith is simply believing, speaking, and acting upon the word of God. Because he said it, I believe it, that takes care of it. Whether everybody else don't believe it or not, you put faith in God's word. It is acting upon the word of God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so that creates the reality of it in your life. So guess what? I mean, you're believing and receiving what? What does God have? Healing, right? It's already provided. Because he knew what you had need of before you did what? Ask him. And we know faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So you got to get your faith settled in your heart. Now remember, faith doesn't come by having heard. So if you need a fresh supply of healing, you got to have faith in what he said. And him as your healer. Amen? You get faith, it's a heart function. It starts in the heart channel. Then it flows up to the mouth channel. Amen? With the heart, man, what? Believes. With the mouth, confession is made, what? Unto. Amen? Then it goes to the action channel. Many healing meetings I've been in, you know, I used to challenge people. Do what you couldn't do before. Faith gives action to the power of God. So once you have faith, you got to start either praising God, thanking God for your healing, or you got to do something you couldn't do before. Move your limb, rebel against your body, resist that sickness. And the healing power of God works first spiritually because faith is a spiritual force. It comes out of your, comes through your spirit. You work it from your spirit, and it affects a healing and a cure throughout your body. Hallelujah. This is powerful stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Amen. And then there, sometimes you might be going through the public identification channel. I give you four channels. First, the heart channel. Everybody say the heart channel. Then the mouth channel. Everybody say mouth channel. So what if you pray it? If you pray it, you still have to say it. That's why he said Mark 11, 23 first before 24. Now, I know it wasn't chapter and verse, but Jesus said, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed. In other words, faith begins by talking. The word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy what? Mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. So you can school yourself in faith. That's why you read the scriptures and get into faith. You don't read the scriptures with your brain. You read it with your mouth. You don't eat food or drink a cup of cider, which is what was in this, or a cup of coffee with your mouth closed. Why? I'd spill it all over myself. You can't just read the Bible. You got to feed the Bible. That means you got to put the word in your mouth, just like you put food in your mouth. Who saw a person putting a fork of food and their mouth closed, and it just goes right on their jaw? Babies do that sometimes, but you're not a baby. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to feed on the word of God and get in faith. Then you're ready to pray. Are y'all good? Yeah. So there's a mouth channel, I mean heart channel, a mouth channel, an action channel, because so the Lord may tell you to do something, especially with money concern. You stand on promises of provision. God's not going to, he understands that the universal law is seed time harvest. So he might have you sow something. He might have you do something. But you can't just say, well, I'm waiting for the money to show up. I'm waiting for God to rain down dollar bills. He might open up a door of opportunities and said, you're going to need to go do this. You need to go get this job. You need to invest. Here's an invention. Come on now. Here's increase. Step into this opportunity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You got to act when the Holy Spirit says act. You got to do what the Lord says do. Amen. And then there's the public identification channel when people ask you, how's that going, brother? How's that going, brother? Or if you've been through a health challenge, how's that going, sister? And then you say, well, I don't feel, my knee's still hurting, my head's still hurting, my shoulder's still not feeling. What are you talking? You're talking feelings and not faith. I don't know how I got off on this. Somebody's fault in here. Not mine. I'm just flowing. All right. So you said, well, feelings are not faith. Feelings follow faith. We walk by faith and not by what? Sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. That means you got to be moved. You got to live by believing, not by seeing. I see I ain't got no money. I see I ain't got no job. I see things aren't getting better. I see that you're not looking any better. Well, who cares what you see? Faith is not moved by what it sees, not moved by what it feels. It's moved by what it's believed. I believe the word of God. According to the word of God, I'm well, thank you. You may be still throbbing in your knee or your shoulder or your hand or your back or whatever. You might still be hurting in your head. No, you're not moved by feelings and circumstances. You're moved by the word of God. I trust the word of God. You're not in denial, because denial is a river in Egypt. But you are moved by the word of God. You're saying, according to the word of God, I'm healed. Kenneth Hagin did that on a cold day. He ran out, got all sweaty, his shirt was all wet in a cold winter, and went out, and his throat started closing up. Because, you know, sometimes we violate safety laws. Good common sense stuff. Sometimes our causes is ourselves. But God's faithful, merciful. He forgive you. Amen. And so he got in the room and said, Lord, you know, my throat's closing up. I can't hardly talk. He said, but your word says, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. We were healed. If I was, I am. That means healing belongs to me right now, not when I get to heaven. Right? N-O-W, now. Hallelujah. But how do I get it? I hope y'all listen. You get it by, everybody say, by faith. That means I got to believe it in my heart. I've got to speak it in my mouth, and I got to act on the word of God. And of course, he went up. He said, your word says that let God be true and every man a liar. He says, so if I said I was sick, I'm a liar, because your word says I'm healed. Now, sometimes you got to resist your sickness. You got to resist sin. You got to resist your symptoms and call him a lie. You don't belong in me. Now, he had to preach that night. His throat's all closed up. He can't hardly talk. The easy thing to do is say, well, I'm sick. Let's cancel the meeting. That's what most folks would do. But he didn't do it. He got back and couldn't hardly talk still. He claimed his healing by faith. And then he stood in the pulpit. He said, come on, y'all. Help me praise God that I am well. Everybody came. Can't hardly hear. What's wrong with him? He said, come on, lift your hands. Praise God that I am well. So he lifted his hands. Praise God. What did he do? Act on the word. But he was in a public arena. Because the public is sometimes the last test you got to pass of your faith. When people ask you, how you doing? How's it going with that job? And you just lost it, or you just got upset and walked out on it. Don't lie. You rejoice and say, God's got a better job for me. Praise God. All my needs are met according to his best. Amen. Or they ask you about that headache or the migraines you've been struggling with, or if that's the situation, then you say, according to the word of God, I'm well. Thank you. You're not saying it according to your opinion or how you feel. You're saying, according to the word, I am well. Is this helping somebody? And so he got up and says, thank God. And so he said, by the third time they said, praise the Lord, hallelujah, his whole voice came up back. Faith gives action to the power of God. Faith makes the power of God go to work on your behalf. You gotta have faith. Before we get into these seven steps, I don't think I might even cover one, but you get into these seven steps, you got to be in faith. Now, the next point I want to bring out, praise God, well, Holy Spirit took over my message, so. Don't pray out ahead of your faith, because unanswered prayer is one of the most crippling things to your prayer life, because you lose confidence that God ever hears you or answers your prayers, because you pray and nothing happens for a protracted period of time, and you get discouraged, and then you get into despair, meaning you quit on prayer. You quit praying. You can't even remember the last time I put a prayer request into heaven in Jesus' name. We don't want anybody to get to that point where you lost confidence in prayer altogether, when prayer should be the life and breath and oxygen that we breathe as Christians. Never stop praying. You're supposed to pray about everything. Amen? Amen. So I don't care if it's just something that's a little small. You pray about it. You practice praying all the time. Amen? And don't pray out ahead of your faith. If you're not ready for it, don't pray it. Because the devil used what we call the tool of condemnation and guilt and shame and keep you down, keep his foot on your neck and say, see, nothing happened last time you prayed. You even begged God. You even cried and shed tears, and God didn't even hear you. And then if you don't answer the devil, he'll convince you in your mind that, yeah, you're right. I'm mad at God. And you're not right. Because God will pass over 1,000 people praying in unbelief, and he'll land on the one that's praying in faith. So the encouragement today by the Holy Spirit through the word is you got to pray in faith. Get in faith, then pray in faith. Get in faith and then pray in faith. Praise God. And we know faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word. When you're in faith, you'll know it. Because your heart will be confident. Now this is not human technology, friends. This is not an iPhone, iPad, all that stuff. This is Holy Ghost technology, prayer technology. You will be confident in that prayer that you pray will get answered. How do I know I'm in faith? I have confidence in my heart. Amen. Confidence is the attitude of faith. Your confession is your act of faith. I'll say it again. Confidence is the attitude of faith. That means I know of a surety that when I pray this prayer, the answer's on the way. And that's the way, like Andrew Murray says, if you had to pray a prayer more than once, you never were in faith in the beginning. You nullify and undo it. Because if you keep having to ask God, he didn't say ask me 10 times. He said ask, and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you got to have that confidence, that attitude of confidence that hey, I prayed it, God heard it, it's done. And then what do? You thank God because it's already done. Thank God for you taking care of it, Lord. I thank you. I thank you that I'm healed. I thank you that this thing is well, that this situation is taken care of. I thank you, Lord, that I have what I've requested of you. And you don't have any doubt, whispering, wavering about it. You're on firm, settled ground of the word of God. And then we said confession is an act of faith. It's usually your confession. Because when you're done praying, or if I'm praying, let's say my wife and Sister Frances here, we're agreeing, we say, in Jesus' name, amen. And I would say, is it done, sister? And she would say, it is done. The answer's already done. It's over. It's taken care of. Amen. But some people would say, even when you pray for healing, they say, well, is it done, sister? Done, brother? They said, I sure hope so. Well, you wasted your breath. No, you should be praying. Amen? Get in faith. Everybody say, get in faith. And then pray in faith. Confessions is the act of faith. And your confession, we often said, if the word of God, if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it'll never be strong enough to move your mountain. Amen. Now let's close it with the Mark 11. John, we didn't go through the steps. I apologize. So Mark 11, 22, 23. Let's look at the principles and then we'll close. Y'all good? Well, it's his message, so he gets to take it any way he wants. Amen. Mark 11, 23, 24. Let's go. Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Let's all read that together. And so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now stop right there. Now have faith in God means have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. And when you do, you have faith in God himself and his word. Now, let's read this one. Ready? Read. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Okay? Ready? Read. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. All right? So we see in verse 23 that the saying part of faith is basically talking to stuff. Now, again, you pray the promises, you speak to your mountain. He says, say unto the mountain. He didn't say about the mountain or talk about the mountain. He said, talk to your mountain. Amen. So mountains representative of something big, large, seemingly impossible. He said, "Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea." Now notice he didn't say for 20 minutes. He just said 9 words. See, when you're in faith, your words are powerful. Your confessions rule you. You'll never rise above the level of your confession. So he says, "Well, I'm not happy with what I have in life." Well, check out what you've been saying. He said, "Whosoever." So he didn't say whosoever went to Bible college, whosoever has $1 million in the bank, whosoever has a certain color of their skin, a pigmentation of their skin. No, he said whosoever means a whosoever. That means I can be sleeping on a bridge downtown on a cardboard box. I can qualify as a whosoever. Amen. He said, "Whosoever shall say." So we say faith has to be strong enough to move your mouth before it ever be strong enough to move your mountain. So if you don't say, you lose by default. So when the devil's talking to you and he's bringing pain, pressure, problems in your life, if you never talk, you lose by default. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, "Be removed, be thou cast in the sea," shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says. So notice he says, say, believe once. So it takes you three times more concentration and focus to control your mouth than your believer. You got to keep your believer and your speaker hooked up. Hallelujah. Because you're supposed to say what you believe, not say what you feel. You're supposed to say what you believe, not say what you see. You don't see sight or feelings in those verses. Then he switches gears and gives us another principle about praying. Faith works by saying, but faith also works by praying. When you pray, you have to say. Because there may be a time between when you say, "In Jesus' name, amen," to "There it is." Because the devil may put pressure on you, but he's putting pressure up here between your ears to get you to have loose lips to sink your ship. Lose your grip on your lip. So he's getting you to say something wrong, to undo and nullify and say what you see, say what you feel, say what you experience at the moment, and you talk about the problem and you don't talk the promise and talk to the problem. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. So he said, "Whosoever shall have whatsoever." So that means faith will work for anybody and will work on anything. Now, someone else needs to sit back and just say Selah when we say that, because he's saying, "Whosoever shall have whatsoever," he said. Whosoever, that you have to start thinking and meditate, that's me, shall have what? Whatsoever I say. It didn't say you have whatsoever your mom says or your cousin says or Pookie and Ray Ray and them says. He said, "Who I can have what I say." And when you begin to say, you're on your way. Big mouths get big rewards. So what are you saying? That's why when you have faith friends, if you have a problem, they start talking about the problem. It's okay, let's talk to it. Come on. You start. I'll hook up with you and start with you. Talk to that mountain. Don't just talk about the mountain. Amen? He said, "Say unto it." Dial it up. Speed dial. Boop. Might be a local call right in your backyard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The mountain needs to hear your voice. Now, sometimes religious thinking, you think, well, the priest, the pastor has to do all the praying. No. I want to encourage you and stir your heart. If I hadn't done anything, I hadn't done my job today, to get you to think that, hey, I need to be praying and I need to be saying. Amen. Amen. It doesn't need to hear my voice. Mountain doesn't need to hear Pastor Anthony's voice, anybody else's voice. It needs to hear your voice. Your voice is your address in the realm of spirit. And then verse 24, he tells us the formula of prayer. He says, "Whatever you desire or want, when you pray, believe that you receive them and that you have them." So here it is. Desire plus prayer plus believe that you receive them equals you shall have them. In other words, you got to believe you got it before you get it. So when you pray the promise, you're praying with an expectation and an anticipation that it's already done. That's why you're thanking God. I believe that I've received. Where you receive? You receive by faith from the realm of the Spirit. It's already done. I got it by faith. It's done. You start high-fiving everybody, and you start lifting your hands to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, it's done. It's done. What are we saying to you by the Spirit? Get in faith and then pray in faith. Don't pray out of hope and desperation and throw in a Hail Mary. God doesn't catch Hail Marys. I know some churches say do these Hail Marys, but you don't throw Hail Marys in prayer. Football guys know what I'm talking about. That's why they laugh. Hallelujah. God says, be confident. Amen. Bring your confession. Remind me of my word. Be in faith, and then it's already done. Everybody in this room should have a list of things that they're praying about. Now, if you run out of stuff to pray on, come see me afterwards. I'll put a lot of stuff on your list. Don't be sitting up here saying, well, I ain't got nothing to pray about. Well, then you either lazy or you just lost your mind. Hallelujah. Come on, stand with me, stand with me. Y'all get something out of today? Glory to God. Shekola mohota. Mokorika namabri etoko sukum nangra asekolo muhushike. Nengbre asur me dori diti sokumanandri etosa nengro atas tukulo mohote.